Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Download the Odyssey app. We should mention that. Download that app today. The app is, we were talking about this on a call the other day. And a client said this to me the other day, too. Like, wow, the Odyssey app is so much better than what it was when it was the radio.com app. Download it today. If you haven't downloaded it, download it today. You can rewind, bring us with you wherever you go. And especially on Fridays, you got to have it with you because it always feels like there's breaking news on Fridays. Nick Caserio, press conference today at 11 a.m.
I've got my notifications turned off on my phone for my mental health, but I make Brandy keep the notifications turned on so she can screen everything.
Secretary.
And tell me. So, yeah, whenever Sports Radio 610 or whenever, sometimes, I don't know, I went through and she gets like Texans alerts through Odyssey that don't come through Sports Radio 610 sometimes.
So you get breaking news from Brandy.
Yeah.
That's where you get breaking news.
Yep, that's where I get all my breaking news.
That's good.
I should have her charge a fee for that. She can call you and tell you when big stuff happens.
Yeah, that would be cool. That would be cool. How's the van coming along, by the way?
It's stalled. The progress on my van conversion stalled out a little bit.
Seth is converting the interior of the deceptively fast van.
I've spent the last week tearing out the innards of it, and it's harder than I expected.
Yeah,
I've had to go to the hardware store four times to get various Torx screws. I had to get a Torx socket. This Torx invention is just damn. I'll tell you what, whatever the hardware, the tool lobby in this country has gone too far.
Right.
I never saw a Torx screw in my life until like 7 years ago, and now every damn thing's a Torx.
What's the purpose of redoing the inside of it? Is it going to become your mobile podcast studio? Is that the deal? Or
it's going to be a mobile studio / office / camper van.
Okay.
I want to be able to go and just go up into the woods and sleep for a couple weekends without making a big to-do about it. I'm not putting any plumbing in it or
anything.
Right.
You're like
I just want to be able to go have a little camper van.
You're like the sports talk version of Robert Frost. I'm going to go up in the woods, park next to Walden Lake, and concoct my hot takes.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I'll do. I'm going to retreat to the woods for a year, and I'm going to come back with a new perspective on sports.
Okay. you put out a video of your efforts to redo the video. We've got the video.
You do? Okay. Well, the inspiration for this video was that I've been the inspiration for converting my van, that it's become this big thing, this van life stuff. A lot of people on YouTube converting their vans, and I found that the most entertaining ones are usually foreigners. There's just something about because it's kind of a dry topic, you know, 20, 30 minutes of watching somebody go through and fix their, work on their van.
Right.
Like there's only so much speeding up of the video. So just sometimes having an accent makes it more interesting.
Okay, so see if you can discern here. Let's let the people grade Seth's attempt at a foreign accent as he redoes the inside of his van.
We're starting the van conversion video. I've noticed from other van conversion videos that I much prefer some kind of a nondescript English, Irish, Australian accent. To be truthful, I can't even understand the difference.
Okay, neither can I. Seth, what were you going for there?
I think I started off English and then I figured I sounded a little bit more Australian.
Yeah.
So I threw in Australian there at the end. Somewhere in the Commonwealth, I don't know. That's what I figured. And then a lot of people said I sounded more German than anything. So my story now is that I meant to say Austrian, not Australian. Like Jim Carrey in Dumb and Dumber. I'm going to pretend there's no difference between Australia and Austria.
You sound exactly like what you are, an American trying to do some sort of foreign accent.
It's hard. That's the problem with England, is that like all of England's spawn all over the place sound. We can all tell that they're off, right, and they're different. But people in actually England and Wales and Scotland and Ireland, they can actually tell the difference. And Australia and everything.
Which is the coolest one, do you think? The coolest of the accents.
I would say it used to be Australian, except I knew a guy in college who was Australian who really abused the power of the Australian accent, mm-hmm. to where like he knew girls liked it. And he would like play it up. He'd play it up way too much,
yeah.
And acted like he was a bit more of a cowboy than he actually was.
Yeah.
He was just some nerd from Sydney, you know. But so that started to annoy me. I think I like the Scots the best now.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, I've learned a little bit of Scottish history. And by the way, Sean, I never realized either the huge influence the Scots had on the American Revolution. Because a lot of the ideas about independence came from the Scots, who had their own war of independence going on. And then they came over to America, and a lot of the first forefathers, their tutors, like two-thirds of the people who signed the Declaration of Independence, their tutors were from Scotland.
Ah!
Yeah,
descendants of William Wallace.
Yeah, yeah. So the Scots kind of have a badass way of talking.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah.
Indeed.
The one thing I don't like about the Scots, mm-hmm. the use of the word Bonnie. Bonnie for something that's attractive or something.
Oh,
it's a really stupid word. I wish they would, for such a badass group of people, they should really get rid of that Bonnie word.
I've never
really
heard
dumb.
Of that, and I wish you'd never pointed it out. The Scots
she's a Bonnie lass.
Yeah, they just lost 3 cool points in the Sean Pendergast scale. Damn.
They had this prince that was going to be the leader of the revolution back in the early 1700s. They called him the Bonnie Prince. Mm. Apparently, go Google the Bonnie Prince right there.
Okay.
And you're gonna find the most inbred, ugly ass looking royal member ever. Yeah. Weak chin, weird looking face. You know they're all inbred. They're all ugly and weird and stupid.
Yep.
Just like the current ones.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean these Americans that wanna worship the British royal family like they've ever done anything in their life. Paris Hilton's done more for herself than the royal family has.
Yeah.
Bunch of inbred clowns that don't deserve a second glance. Yeah. You should spit on them if you see them in the street in America. And yet here we are. Yeah. Here we are propping up entire newspapers and magazines and tabloids with royal family
and
news.
Where are most of those people living in the United States, Seth? Those inbred people?
Alabama.
Okay, so Indiana managed to move off of your radar.
Oh, Indiana. Yeah, sorry. I had Alabama on the brain because I watched Alabama Snake on HBO.
That's right.
Yeah.
We've not heard anything yet about the return dates for Alex Bregman, Jose Altuve, you know, Yordan Alvarez, half the Astros starting lineup. We just know they did not make the trip to Seattle, right? Can you ask, is Brandy there, Seth? Can you ask her if we've heard anything yet on any breaking news as to whether or not
Let me text her. We
know the return, because I don't feel great about them going on a road trip without half their starting line. Abraham Toro all of a sudden being an integral part of what they're going to have to do here in Seattle and Colorado does not have me feeling all that great.
I was it's been all quiet. No, the only thing Brandy texted me was that the coyote, she actually saw 2 coyotes at Voss and I-10. She said it was a loverly pair of coyotes.
Okay.
She felt bad because they looked confused / scared, backed up against the fence.
But nothing on the Astros.
Nothing on the Astros at all.
Gotcha.
So the Astros, we have zero clue about what's going on. The COVID protocol is a black box where people go in and they emerge whenever Major League Baseball tells us that they're ready to come out. I'm crossing my fingers that it was just some kind of a close call with contact, or maybe they were sick themselves. And it ends up being a nice little break for a team that, you know, a couple guys maybe could have used a break.
Yeah, probably. I mean, it was... Go ahead.
Oh, no, I just got excited thinking about Yuli while I was... Sorry.
I mean, Seth jumped out of his chair and waving his number one finger at me like, hold on. You're excited about Yuli?
Astros County tweeted out Yuli's walk stat the other night. And
he's got crazy on-base numbers right now.
Well, right. His on-base numbers are crazy. But the thing where you should feel really good about Yuli, because the kind of thing that can last... is his approach at the plate. So Yuli Gurriel in his number of walks per season.
Yeah.
So in 2017, 18, and 19, he had anywhere between 22 and 37 walks per season.
Okay.
In 2020, in that shortened season with less than half the player plate appearances as those previous 3 years, he had 12 walks, just 12 total walks.
God, he's almost there right now.
Yeah, he's at 11 walks already.
Wow.
So he's already almost got the equal number of walks as last year. So his approach at the plate, everything, he's the guy that is for real. When he said at the beginning of the season he got himself back in shape to where he was 2 years ago, all of those things, Yuli looks like, fingers crossed, yeah, last year in the shortened COVID season, that could be the anomaly, and that maybe he's going to be just fine and continue the way he's playing right now. The other thing to remember about Yuli, too, was is that, yes, he's older, but remember that in Cuba, they do not play nearly the grueling schedule that they do in America.
Right.
So, you know, yeah, Yuli's playing shortstop and third base in Cuba, but they're playing 60, 70, 80 games per year. They also, in Cuba, when they show up at the ballpark, they show up, they take batting practice, they play the game. You know, it's not the all-day affair, and it's not nearly, and obviously the travel's not going to be the same as it is in Major League Baseball. So I think Yuli so far right now is showing a lot of signs that he's going to age really well, and with his approach at the plate right now, that if he can sustain this, he could end up having a really, really good year.
Yep, absolutely. All right, 713-572-4610. If you want to get in on the show, phones, texts, either of them work here. On a Friday, Payne and Pendergast with you. Teams are super thirsty for quarterbacks in the NFL. What do the journeys for the top dozen or so QBs in the league say about what teams are looking to do this year in the draft? We'll dig into that next. All right, so we know that the first three picks in the NFL draft are going to be quarterbacks. We also know that over the last six drafts, there have been 15 quarterbacks drafted in the top 10. We know that between 2015 and 2018, there were 10 quarterbacks drafted in the top 10, and that seven of those 10, now that we've got a body of work of at least three seasons on all these guys, of the 10 quarterbacks drafted in the top 10 from 2015 through 2018, seven are going to be playing for different teams than the ones that drafted them this year, and all for performance reasons. If they were good, those teams would have kept them around. So the top of the draft is fraught with just not as fraught with inexactness as the rest of the draft. It's still the highest probability and yet still a very low probability of finding a franchise quarterback. And yet, Seth, I think there's a chance the first four picks in the draft could be quarterbacks this year.
Yeah, that's one of those situations where I think because the problem is people get too excited over the prospects of a guy taken in the top five or the top 10 where they almost turn right around and say, like, it's not even worth taking a guy in the top five or the top 10. I mean, it's just that it's still hard. I guess that's whenever you get a really, really high pick, you want to fall in love with the notion that somehow you're buying the answer to all your dreams with that, but you've still got a less than 25% chance of it actually working out.
Yeah.
But it's still your best chance compared to taking a guy in the sixth round.
Yeah. I think between the two of us, as we, you know, before the Deshaun, I would say at the outset of the Deshaun legal entanglements here, I think I was probably more worked up over the fact that this is going to prevent them from getting a top three pick in the draft. You know, this is a year where it lines up perfectly. The number two and number three teams both have multiple firsts. They need quarterbacks. They're in cities Deshaun would seemingly want to go to. I think you've been maybe more probably less emotional about the top five pick part of this whole thing than I have here. And I think some of the stuff, as I look at who the top quarterbacks are in the league, your point of view may be the correct one on this thing, which is it sucks that they're not going to be able to pull off a Deshaun trade before the draft. But let's keep in mind, look at the top 12 quarterbacks in the league this year, and then look at where they were procured by the teams that they played for. Aaron Rodgers was the 25th overall pick. Patrick Mahomes was the 10th overall pick. The Chiefs traded up to get him. Josh Allen, 7th overall pick. Ryan Tannehill's on his second team. He's a rehab project Ryan Fitzpatrick is Ryan Fitzpatrick was fifth in QBR last year. In QBR. Yeah. He's a journeyman. Drew Brees, you know, second.
And Fitzpatrick, I guess the big thing to note there too, he was a seventh round pick, but he also, it's not like the team that drafted him is the one that got the benefit from it.
That's
like,
right.
The existence of Ryan Fitzpatrick is not an argument for drafting a Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
Because the Rams got like one come from behind victory versus the Texans and another couple nice performances.
Yeah.
But it was the Rams. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so Drew Brees and the Saints, you know, he wasn't even drafted by the Saints. Lamar Jackson was the 32nd overall pick. Russell Wilson was a third round pick. Tom Brady's Tom Brady. We know he was a sixth round pick and he signed with Tampa as a free agent. Baker Mayfield's the only one in this upper tippy, you know, of the top 12 quarterbacks, because the other two after Mayfield's 10th, Derek Carr is 11th. He was a second round pick, and this guy named Deshaun Watson was 12th. He was the 12th overall pick. My point being that your view of it, that, okay, you know, having the second or third overall pick is not the end all and be all in terms of what you get for Deshaun Watson, because you don't have to be up there to get your quarterback, as evidenced by who the top 12 quarterbacks were in the league last year.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons where tanking in football isn't nearly as enticing as it is in baseball or basketball. And it's grown less enticing in those sports too. I don't know about basketball, boy. The one guy makes such a big difference. If Deshaun ends up going for picks that aren't nearly as well, okay. This is the problem, though, Sean. I guess the number, if you're in a year where there is an Andrew Luck or an RG3, because still, look. If I had to do it over again and go back and draft in that year, I would have taken Andrew Luck. 1 and RG3 2 still to this day. RG3's injuries probably did him in more than anything else. And there's still, you know, there's questions as to just how good he would have been long term.
Right.
But my God, what a prospect. Yeah. So not every year is the same as other years. All we do know is that teams are reaching more aggressively than ever for quarterbacks. So it seems like whichever guy, if you really do like a guy, the chances of getting him, you know, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, they're probably getting a little bit less each year. The other thing that matters, though, too, is in any given year, sometimes the top five picks in the draft, there might only be one or two that really want a quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, one thing about this year is that a lot of the teams at the very top also really, really want a quarterback.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that'll be interesting to see, you know, once the draft is over, to take a look. And this is what Texan fans are probably going to have to do if Deshaun Watson is still on the roster. Is that once the draft is over, then who are the teams that are heading into 2021 with what we feel are long-term solutions at quarterback? You know, after the draft this year, we'll probably be able to kind of ballpark who the teams are that are going to be in the market to trade for Deshaun Watson next year. We know the chances are the Jags won't be, the Jets won't be, the 49ers won't be. None of them are going to trade for Watson 1 year in. Although I say that, and the Dolphins seem to be ready to punt on Tua and do that. So maybe some team will, but we'll have a better idea after the draft.
Yeah, that's the other thing that's changed so much, is that teams are willing, as evidenced by the fact that everybody taken in the 2016 draft is now on a different NFL team.
Yeah.
Like all those quarterbacks taken early are all gone and elsewhere now. I think teams are just way more quick to pull the trigger, because it used to be you were going to give a guy like Eli Manning 3 or 4 years to develop. And Eli, like, if Eli had the first 2 years that he had then, if he did that now.
Let me go look that up real quick.
Yeah, go
keep
ahead.
Talking.
I mean, it's always hard looking at quarterback stats from that era and comparing them to now, because things are different. But it wasn't pretty, you know, and there's a chance that it's not like Eli's got such crazy physical skills that you would say, like, no, it's just a matter of time.
His first year in the league, he started 7 games. So I think that was year. I think Kurt Warner was on the team too that year in New York.
Yep.
Seth, he was 1-6 after his rookie year with a 48% completion percentage. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's basically the record is different because Tua actually won some games. But man, Tua's numbers were not like all that dazzling this year. These are worse than Tua. These numbers are worse than Tua's rookie year. And the Dolphins seem to be ready to trade Tua if Deshaun Watson became available.
But what were his second year though? I'm curious.
Second year they went 11-5, but he only completed 53% of his passes.
Yeah,
you know, 24 touchdowns, 17 interceptions.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like it was a sparkling performance or anything.
No,
I think if you try to fast forward to next year, for one, yes, some of these the high picks are going to get at least 2 years to figure it out.
Yeah.
But I mean, look at what the Carolina Panthers are doing. Like, what the hell are the Carolina Panthers doing? They're taking a stab at Sam Darnold, and I think that they realize that Deshaun Watson, there's a very good chance. The Panthers, who are very much in and interested in Deshaun Watson, probably realized, all right, Deshaun Watson might be more of a 2022 type of scenario. So if I'm going to put the leader in the clubhouse for who's going after Deshaun Watson in 2022, it'd be the Panthers. Because Darnold's probably not going to work out there. They'll give him every chance to succeed. He's going to end up maybe being slightly better than he was in New York, but they'll be back around as long as the way is clear from a PR standpoint.
You know the biggest reason they're going to go after Deshaun Watson, Seth, because I tend to agree with you that they would be a prime candidate, is they've got a thirst for Deshaun Watson that goes all the way up to the owner. The owner is reportedly really, really hell-bent on having a franchise quarterback.
Another team with a culture and an owner, I mean, who used to embrace outlaws, just flat out want guys that weren't just busts, but like actually had criminal backgrounds and what have you, and is now in a city that's a little bit more tolerant of Deshaun Watson's favorite, what he claims is a consensual leisure time activity, the Las Vegas Raiders.
He'd be a culture fit there.
He'd be, yeah, they would say, look, it's all consensual. Mm-hmm. Well, it's technically illegal, but I mean, you know, here's a flyer. Yeah.
You're getting a lot of advice on the text page about remodeling the inside of the deceptively fast van.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Shiplap's all the rage these days.
Seth needs more Snap-on tools. Definitely the problem. I told you I have all the Snap-on tools you need. That's from our friend Mike in Cy-Fair.
Yeah, Mike in Cy-Fair has a couple of Snap-on franchises.
Yeah. People are saying that your accent okay, there's more people commenting about your fake accent that you were trying to do. Ben, play it one more time for the benefit, if you have it in there, if you can play it for the people. Here's
we're starting the van conversion video. I've noticed from other van conversion videos that I much prefer some kind of a nondescript English, Irish, Australian accent. To be truthful, I can't even understand the difference.
Multiple people saying you sound like a drunk Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Idris Elba. People are saying you sound like Idris.
Who's that?
What was his name on The Wire? Stringer Bell. He played Stringer Bell. He was on The Office.
Pretty cool name.
Yeah. He was.
What was he on The Office?
He was, Charles, he was the black guy who came in to be the manager of Dunder Mifflin Scranton. Played Stringer Bell on The Wire. He's British in real life, so he's got a bit of an accent, yeah.
I don't even remember that. Did I miss that entire season?
If you binge-watched it, unless you were on drugs or something, I don't know. But
he was manager. Oh, when Charles. He came in, he was only in for a couple episodes.
Yeah. He went in for a whole season or anything.
All right, yeah. Yeah. Oh, that guy's, he looks like a badass.
He's always on those sexiest man alive lists. I'm really jealous of him.
Oh, that makes sense that people would think I sounded like him and looked like him. A lot of times people say, Seth, you're like the white Stringer Bell. I'm like, thank you. I appreciate that. Now I know what it means.
Yeah. Seth and I casted the Texans movie earlier this week when it was announced that Kevin James was going to play Sean Payton in a movie. We tried to cast the Texans version of a movie. I actually used facial recognition software to recast it. Proof that technology has a long way to go. This is what the software spit out as the cast of the Texans movie. Next.
To be truthful, I can't even understand the difference.
So we talked about this earlier in the week. There's a movie coming out about Sean Payton during the Bounty Gate suspension, and it's based on him coaching his son's football team while he was suspended for a year. Kevin James is going to play Sean Payton, which if you're Seth Payne and you're able to do the photographic digging and find out that there was a time where Kevin James was actually quite the stud. He wasn't the paunchy star of King of Queens that we know now.
Yeah, that took a lot of digging. I had to Google Kevin James high school.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he was a tailback in high school.
Is he really?
I assumed he was a lineman of some sort, but he went to play at SUNY Cortland, which is the Division III school. But I can't find any information about, like, if he was actually any good in college or anything.
Yeah. So Kevin James as Sean Payton is a bit of a curious casting, I think. You know, purely from a visual standpoint, you know, depending on what the tone of the movie is, we should point out it's an Adam Sandler movie, so there is probably at very least a comedic element to it.
And it's about him coaching his kids' football
team. Right.
It's not about Bounty Gate.
Yeah.
It's not like Kevin James is going to be there being like, Greg Williams, I'm in for 100, blah, blah, you know.
Right. Or he's, you know, sitting down with the commissioner, the scene with great gravitas. It's probably going to be a more lighthearted movie.
Oh, but that would be fun, though, if it's a comedy and they have, like, Roger Goodell played by some clown.
I'll have to use this facial recognition software to see who would play Roger Goodell. Because that's what Seth, you know that when we talked about this the other day, it turned into us trying to cast the Texans. If they made a movie about the Texans in the last year, who would star in that movie? You and I tried to do it just off of, like, from our brains, like, okay, who looks like so-and-so? Who looks like O'Brien? Who looks like Easterby? This and that. I actually put technology to work yesterday, and I used facial recognition software online to cast the Texans movie. And tell me if this software did a better or worse job with each of these people than Adam Sandler did in casting Kevin James as Sean Payton.
Yeah.
We use the James line, we'll call it. All right, so Bill O'Brien, the facial recognition software that I used came up with Mel Gibson.
Oh.
For Bill O'Brien.
You know what? That's actually not bad. I could see that. Not to mention
You'd have to shave his head.
Yeah, but the angry tirade part too. Mel Gibson's pretty good at that, both in real life and it. Now, in Bill O'Brien, to his credit, I don't think Bill O'Brien is the anti-Semite that Mel Gibson is.
No, I don't think so.
Damn near 100% sure of it.
Yes.
But as far as actual looks, okay. Any movie Mel Gibson plays is likely not going to be as good looking as Mel Gibson.
Right.
So you don't, you know, like, let go of that part of it. But there's a certain similarity there. I could see that. Yeah.
So Mel Gibson. Now, they also threw George Carlin out there. I had to remind the software that Carlin is not available to play Bill O'Brien.
If George Carlin were alive, and actually, like, if George Carlin is a younger man, I could totally see that. That, honestly, that's
kind
of weird because those two both have kind of they've got a Bill O'Brien type of attitude about them.
Yeah.
That I think in real life, you know,
this software is scaring me.
So it's like making a case for phrenology too. It's a little bit freakish. Yeah. Cause George Carlin's stand up act is a little bit like Bill O'Brien's kind of crustiness. Yeah.
Okay. Now, Cal McNair, I don't think they exactly nailed this one. James Earl Jones for Cal McNair.
That's good. That's good.
Imagine Cal McNair with the booming James Earl Jones Darth Vader voice?
I do. By the way, like, ever since Hamilton, and then there's a show that we tried to watch on Netflix.
Patriot South.
I kind of like now that you're seeing more people, like, cast cross racially and everything.
Yeah,
because you do start to realize, like, wow, no matter how hard you try, we let, like, one single physical characteristic completely. Like, obviously, we know it. But, like, as far as you can allow any kind of actor that doesn't look anything like it. Mel Gibson playing Bill O'Brien, I'm like, okay, that makes sense. But somehow James Earl Jones playing Cal McNair doesn't make sense because of one single characteristic.
That's right.
So I say, yeah, hell yeah, put James Earl Jones in there.
And it was it was a picture of James Earl Jones with a mustache,
with
too.
With a mustache,
yeah. So
no, I would say they kind of similarly I don't know if round faces, but like maybe a softer face.
Just the shape
with a
of their
mustache
head.
Or something.
Yeah.
God, I'd love to have James Earl Jones play me.
Yeah.
He just instantly makes anybody sound 10 to 40% more dignified than they actually are.
100%, including the Dark Sith Lord Darth Vader. Jack Easterby, Daniel Day-Lewis. Oh. For Jack Easterby.
Now, Daniel Day-Lewis has retired from acting, has he not?
Oh, I think he'd come out of retirement to play Jack Easterby. What a role that would be.
He would inhabit the role.
Yeah.
You know, like he would. I think. Correct me if I'm wrong, everybody, but I think Daniel Day-Lewis might have retired just because his whole – he was a method actor, and he would get deep into it, and I think it was driving him insane, driving him crazy. Maybe playing Jack Easterby is the role that would bring him back into the world of the sane.
Yeah.
Because it would be nothing but rosebuds and positivity after you play Jack Easterby for a while.
They also had Larry the Cable Guy on the list.
Yeah, that's a better one.
For Jack Easterby, Larry the Cable Guy.
I'm trying to think of his
that's
face.
That's funny right there. Get her done. Yeah. That's funny.
And Jack Easterby's... Daniel Day-Lewis would be really good. I'd love to see his interpretation of it.
So far, the software is doing a pretty good job. All right, next role, Deshaun Watson.
Okay.
Jamie Foxx.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, and Jamie Foxx has played a quarterback. And, I like that.
Yeah.
I think that would be pretty good. They're trying to think of their faces. If they look, Jamie Foxx has kind of got more like a more – like a more pronounced cheekbones and everything.
Yeah.
Right? But I could see it though.
Now they also threw out Randy Jackson from American Idol, who I think is like 70 years old now, but yeah.
Randy Jackson?
Yeah.
Well, he's gaunt now.
Yeah,
he's
definitely
he's
much
not old.
Now.
Yeah. Did he have the surgery? Because he looks like that extremely skinny.
I don't know.
It's not like he's just been watching, you know, how many Twinkies he's eating.
Yeah, I don't know. The next role, DeAndre Hopkins. The software came up with a bunch of women for DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh.
I don't know if it was because of the dreadlocks, you know, that they took female hair.
So
or
they interpreted
if he's
that as long hair?
I guess. Okay. Or if he's maybe got, you know, his facial features match up more with Sierra. Vivica Fox and Naomi Campbell were the three that came up for DeAndre Hopkins. Boy, can you imagine the irony of Sierra playing DeAndre Hopkins, the wife of Russell Wilson playing the role of DeAndre Hopkins in a Texans movie?
If you had the choice to have one of those three women play you in a movie, who would you prefer play you in the movie?
I think Naomi Campbell.
Yeah, I think Naomi Campbell.
Yeah.
Because that's, especially for you and me, I mean, she was like one of the original supermodels.
Yeah.
You know, in that era of supermodels.
Right.
There was something about Naomi Campbell.
So it feels like it would stand a reason that she would play us, for sure.
Yeah, and I was like, she'd almost be like yes. Well, I would say of those
two handsome
three.
Handsome fellas like
that. Deshaun Watson, or excuse me, DeAndre Hopkins played all by women. There is a certain, I don't want to say this like it's a dig or an insult or anything. He's got like such DeAndre Hopkins has like a pristine face.
Yes,
like facial structure.
It's a compliment,
almost, right?
Yeah,
like it almost like incredibly smooth skin and everything to where it does almost look like he's a porcelain doll or something.
No doubt.
So, yeah.
No doubt. All right.
So that makes sense. That's not an insult. I think it's a credit to DeAndre Hopkins that's how pure his face is that a woman would play him.
Two more. So we're casting the Texans movie using facial recognition software, and so far I think Seth seems to think that the software is doing a pretty good job. J.J. Watt. We had said John Cena the other day, but the software spit out another wrestler, Triple H, to play J.J. Watt.
Oh, okay.
I think Cena's a better call than J.J. Watt. They also had the dude who played Jorah Mormont on Game of Thrones for J.J. Watt.
Plus, Triple H has got a kind of a weathered look about him, right?
Big time.
I mean, that's J.J.'s a little too America and apple pie.
The software is trying too hard here, I think.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Give us
you're
John
trying to
Cena
like,
and get the hell out.
Yeah, don't make JJ into something he's not.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah, yeah. The last one, Laramie Tunsil. I skipped right over Laramie Tunsil. Laramie Tunsil, Seth? Michael Clark Duncan.
Oh, that's what I had said.
Yeah.
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 Oh, by the way, I also, the other day when I brought up Michael Clark Duncan, I said that he was short. And for some reason, I don't know why I thought that. He was 6'5".
He was actually a stud. He was 6'5", but they portrayed him on the Green Mile like he was 8'2".
Oh, so he was just shorter than he actually.
Yes.
Oh, that's why I thought he was shorter.
Because he
wasn't 7 foot
the whole
tall.
Movie. Yeah,
he was like 6'5". I think he played college football. Yeah,
yeah.
But that voice, especially.
Yeah.
It's the voice. Yeah. Michael Clark Duncan has that really low, deep voice that Laramie Tunsil
now,
did.
Now, keep in mind, this is facial recognition software, so it's really just they're doing the face here, but. I think Don Cheadle, who was also spit out for Laramie Tunsil, would probably have to put on some weight for the role of Laramie Tunsil.
Yeah. Can you imagine? What if they had traded for Laramie Tunsil and he showed up looking exactly like Don Cheadle? Like,
two firsts and a second for Don Cheadle.
Yeah, they've got Hotel Somalia out there on the left tackle.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, no.
You want to – how about – I put John McClain in, too. Guess what the software spit out for John McClain? James Earl Jones. The same one that it spit out for Cal. The software basically thinks that Cal McNair and John McClain are twins. If you are an older man in his 60s with a mustache, this software thinks that you are James Earl Jones, basically.
Yeah.
I agree, John. I agree.
Oh, Hotel Rwanda, by the way. It wasn't okay. Hotel Somalia.
Gotcha.
I knew that sounded wrong as soon as I said it.
Right.
That Don Cheadle was in.
Yeah.
One of your dumbass Twitter followers said that Jonah Hill should play me. That guy can 100% go die this weekend. I hope you find tragedy.
I like how you're low key putting that guy on my ticket. You know what I mean? Like, one of your followers said blah blah blah.
Yeah, because he was. You know, the problem was that every other one was like a serious recommendation.
Yeah.
So I have no choice but to believe that guy thinks I've got Jonah Hill type qualities.
Maybe
he can go die in a horrible way this weekend. That's harsh.
That is really really harsh.
That was like suggesting Jonah Hill.
Well, that's
harsh
too. You're right. No, it's a proportional response. You're being harsh to each other. There's no doubt. 713-572-4610. Aaron Wilson, who was let go by the Chronicle, actually is still putting some news out there. I guess, Seth, the Texans voted to go virtual on their voluntary workout, so they're jumping in with all these other teams. It feels like there's teams piling on every day with this. Seth, you're the former player in this whole thing, so I'm having a hard time getting worked up about this story. Like, teams are putting out statements about their players voting on boycotting voluntary workouts like they're going on strike or something like that. Like,
right,
I have a hard time getting worked up to the same extent that teams, players, and Twitter seem to be getting worked up over players wanting their voluntary stuff to be on Zoom.
Right. Yeah, and I think that it's not a big deal, I guess.
Okay, I feel better about not getting worked up over it.
What do people really care about these non-padded workouts and what have you? It's an opportunity for coaches to – honestly, I'll say for guys that actually care about their workouts, the stuff that starts happening in the spring is a real pain in the ass in that it interferes in actually making gains in your workouts. Because instead of just focusing on your body and training and everything, you're out there practicing. And it's only a few times a week. It's not grueling or anything. But it's different than when you're actually just training and trying to focus exclusively on your body. So I don't know. As a former player, I always felt like it was overkill. That I'd rather have an old school training camp where you go 2-a-days every day and get rid of a bunch of the stuff in the spring. Because a lot of times there's pressure to go out. The biggest thing is sometimes you'll have surgery in January and there's like subtle pressure to still be out there practicing in April and May and June. That's not necessarily actually the best thing for your body. So I don't think it's a big deal. I know some coaches do because they're just, control freaks that want to be out there practicing all the time. But they'll get over it. You'll get over it, coaches. You'll find a way. You'll figure out a way to not whine about it, and everything will be all right.
Aaron pointed out in this, he put up a post about this. It's an article that he sort of screen grabbed and posted on his Twitter, on his Twitter page. So, and he's still been reporting transactions and stuff. Aaron's still doing, even though he's not with the Chronicle anymore, he's still putting some NFL content up on his Twitter account at @AaronWilson_NFL. He lists all the Texans who have bonuses or pay de-escalators tied to not showing up for workouts.
Yeah.
Like, if Laramie Tunsil doesn't show up at the building, he loses $350,000.
So I guess what the players are demanding, though, is that, look, just like last year, because of COVID, you got to be able to – guys can complete their workouts just like they did last year where you just send in the video or whatever.
Yeah.
And don't do what Gronk did, which was Gronk claims that he went out and did like 4 workouts in one day where he would just change his shirt and then run another video and send it in.
That's smart.
to which all my fellow stat nerds said, hey, metadata – And I said, yeah, metadata. And then I looked up metadata. It was like, oh, it's all the stuff that that you can look into right. to see when the actual, oh. when things were actually shot and everything.
Oh, busted.
To which I said, hey, strength coach. Like, listen, we're not going to look all that much. Strength coach Seth is not going to look into Stat Nerd Seth's metadata.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. All right. We head into the 9 o'clock hour. I put up a poll yesterday. Jadeveon Clowney at the contract he signed or J.J. Watt at the contract he signed? You're a GM. Who do you sign? We'll tell you what the people said, and we'll get Seth's take on it as well next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.